Who is Esau Edom? Written by Charles Weissman. Read for you by Paul Maitrejane. This is a free tearingdownidols.com audiobook. Reproduction and redistribution are encouraged. For more free reading and listening material, please visit tearingdownidols.com. Chapter 7. Edom's Revenge. Esau Edom's continual and perpetual hatred and jealousy towards Jacob would inevitably be conveyed into action against him for revenge. That action of revenge would be directed against everything connected with Jacob, against his society, his civilization, his government, his life, his children's lives, and against his God. Esau's War Against Jacob. God's script assigns to Esau Edom, or the Edomites, the role of being a warlike people. This was revealed in Isaac's prophecy of Esau in stating, "And by thy sword shall you live," Genesis 27, verse 40. The sword is often used in Scripture as being symbolic for war and slaughter. Footnote, as illustrated in Leviticus 26, verse 6 and 25, Psalm 63, verse 10, Ezekiel 21, verse 3, etc. And footnote. This is personified in the red horse of Revelation 6, verse 4, which signifies war and the ability to cause war. Who is it that Esau Edom would want to use the sword on or bring war upon? The one he hates and desires to take revenge on, that being Jacob Israel. It was Jacob that Esau desired to kill because Jacob had taken away the blessings and birthright from Esau. And he, Esau, said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother." Genesis 27, verses 36 and 41. Esau's loss of both his birthright and blessings to Jacob became the basis of a plot to kill his brother. At one time, Esau told his son to "take thy sword in thy hand and pursue Jacob, and lurk for him, and slay him with thy sword." Jasher 29, verse 31. Esau was angered when this plot failed. Years later, when Jacob entered into the land of Esau, he prayed to God to "deliver me from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me." Genesis 32, verse 11. On hearing of Jacob's arrival, Esau raised 400 armed men to fight against Jacob, but "the Lord put fear and kindness toward Jacob in the hearts of Esau and his men." Jasher 32, verse 57. The first time that the descendants of Esau, the Amalekites, encountered Jacob's descendants, Israel, the descendants of Esau fought against Israel without cause. Exodus 17, verse 8. When the Israelites were on their journey to Canaan, they once again encountered Edomites. The Edomites refused to allow Israel passage through their land, and threatened to use the sword upon them. And Edom said unto him, Israel's ambassador, "Thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against you with the sword." Numbers 20, verse 18. Edom was an adversary and enemy of Israel throughout the Old Testament scriptures. When Saul was king of Israel, the Edomites were regarded as one of his enemies, whom he'd fought against. 1 Samuel 14, verse 47. They continued to be enemies against David, but he eventually conquered the land of Edom and put garrisons in it, making all the Edomites David's servants. 1 Chronicles 18, verse 13. As it was foretold by God, the elder, Esau, shall serve the younger, Jacob. Genesis 25, verse 23. This was the natural order in God's plan for the world. During the reign of Jehoshaphat of Judah, the Edomites joined forces with the Ammonites and Moabites to invade and conquer Judah. But Edom's plans were foiled by God when he caused the tribes of Ammon and Moab to turn on the Edomites and slay them. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 through 23. In the reign of Jehoshaphat's son Joram, the Edomites revolted against the rule of Judah and appointed their own king. 2 Kings 8, verses 20 through 22. When Amaziah became king, he was able to suppress the revolt and slew 10,000 Edomites, and another 10,000 were carried away and cast off the top of a rocky cliff. 2 Kings 14, verse 7, 2 Chronicles 25, verse 11. Because of the blessing of the birthright which Israel now had, they could easily prevail over Edom and make them a vassal state. These events only added further cause for Edom to take revenge on Israel. God's script reveals that Edom will continually try to kill Jacob Israel with the sword or by war, out of revenge for his loss of the birthright to Jacob. This desire to war against Jacob was revealed in God's condemnation against Mount Seir, the Edomite nation. Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir and prophesy against it. Because you, Mount Seir, have had a perpetual hatred and have shed the blood of the children of Israel by force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquity had an end. Ezekiel 35, verses 2 and 5. It is Red Edom that desires to kill Israelites. The patterns of this war against Israel are continued on in the scene of the great Red Dragon's war against Christians. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12, verse 17. And in Revelation 17, verse 6, we also find the red or scarlet beast of Mystery Babylon, which is controlled by the woman in red or scarlet, at war with the saints of God. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. The Apostle John was completely awed and astonished at the great number of Christians that were being slain by this woman in red controlling the red beast. Who is it that has been at the bottom of so many of the wars in Christendom throughout the centuries? Has it not been the international Jew? They are effective at inciting factions and wars. The very words of their own people profess this. For example, Rabbi Reichhorn, speaking at the funeral of Grand Rabbi Simeon ben Yehuda in 1869, stated, "Thanks to the terrible power of our international banks, we have forced the Christians into wars without number. Wars have a special value for Jews, since Christians massacre each other and make more room for us Jews. Wars are the Jews' harvest. The Jew banks grow fat on Christian wars. Over 100 million Christians have been swept off the face of the earth by wars, and the end is not yet." Footnote. Henry Ford also noted that it was a Jew who said, "Wars are the Jews' harvest, but no harvest is so rich as civil wars." The International Jew, The World's Foremost Problem, Volume 3, page 180. And footnote. Jews foment wars due to their hatred of white people, for as one Jew said, the doctrine of the Jew is not that of forgiveness, but is the doctrine of retaliation. Footnote. Maurice Samuel, You Gentiles, Harcourt Brace, 1924, page 30. End footnote. The continued influence of Jewish vengeance on white civilization was also revealed by the Jew Marcus Eli Ravage, speaking to Christians in a series of articles in Century Magazine. "You have not begun to appreciate the real depth of our guilt. We are intruders. We are subverters. We have taken your natural world, your ideals, your destiny, and played havoc with them. We have been at the bottom not merely of the latest great war, World War I, but of nearly all your wars and revolutions in your history. We have brought discord and confusion and frustration into your personal and public life. We are still doing it. No one can tell how long we shall go on doing it. Who knows what great and glorious destiny might have been yours if we had left you alone." Footnote. Century Magazine, Volume 115, Number 3, January 1928, pages 347 through 348, and footnote. With the dominion attained, Edom now had the means to wreak vengeance upon those whom he hated and who could threaten that dominion, Israel, or the white nations. After World War I, in 1918, Count Mensdorf, the Jewish Austrian ambassador to England, said, "Israel, the Jews, won the war, World War I. We made it, thrived on it, profited from it. It was our supreme revenge on Christianity." With the mighty power of the banks they control and the strings attached to government leaders they hold, the Jews have repeatedly plunged the white nations into wars at will. This has been true ever since the dominion of the Jews materialized in the late 1600s, as one Jew writes, "It was the Jews who first permitted kings to maintain costly armies of mercenaries. In Spain, it was largely the part of Jewish finance that allowed the king to defeat the Arabs." Footnote: Abram Leon, The Jewish Question, Pathfinder Press, 1950, page 166. And footnote. The script God wrote for this planet has assigned to the character Esau Edom the role of destroyer and adversary of Jacob Israel, as revealed by the prophet Joel. "Edom shall be a desolate wilderness for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in the land." Joel 3, verse 19. Edom is an integral part of the red beast system that wreaks death and tribulation so great that it would have destroyed even the elect of God, the remnant of Jacob, if not stopped. Matthew 24, verses 21 through 22. What people have been acting out this destructive role in the world? None other than the Jews, as they so boldly admit. "In everything, we are destroyers. We Jews, we, the destroyers, will remain the destroyers forever. Nothing that you will do will meet our demands and needs. We will forever destroy because we need a world of our own." Footnote: Maurice Samuel, You Gentiles, Harcourt Brace, 1924, page 155. And footnote. It is not by accident, but by a divine plan that the evil and diabolical traits to destroy and kill out of revenge would be instilled in the people known as Jews. Is it surprising that Judaism should become the fermenting and destructive element in countries which have always despised and persecuted it? That peculiar facility for intrigue, stratagem, conspiracies, and that patient, almost uncanny waiting for the hour of never-failing revenge are all characteristics of the chosen people, the Jews. Footnote: Professor F. A. Ossendowski, The 19th Century and After, London, January 1926, page 29. And footnote. The Jew Dr. Oscar Levy, writing in the preface to the book The World Significance of the Russian Revolution, 1920, also expressed the Jewish trait to destroy. "There is scarcely an event in modern Europe that cannot be traced back to the Jews. Take the Great War, World War I. The Jews have made this war. We, Jews, who have posed as the saviors of the world, we are today nothing else but the world's seducers, its destroyers, its incendiaries, its executioners. We have finally succeeded in landing you into a new hell." Footnote: as quoted in The International Jew, Volume 3, 1921, pages 184 through 187. And footnote. The Jews' destructive ways and propensity for killing Christians should be of no surprise, since their own guide to law and religion, the Talmud, teaches and condones such acts. Here are some relevant excerpts. "Thou shalt surely kill him," the Gentile. "Thou shalt surely smite him with stones that he die," Abodah Zarah 4b. "For murder, whether of a goy or a Jew by a goy, punishment is incurred, but murder of a goy by a Jew, there is no punishment," Sanhedrin 57a, Abodah Zarah 13b. "Christians, informers, and apostates may be cast into a pit and need not be rescued," Abodah Zarah 26b. "A goy who studies the law deserves death," Sanhedrin 59a. It is certain that our, the Jews' captivity will last until the princes of the Gentiles are destroyed. Zohar 1, 219b. Even the best of the goyim should be killed. Abodah Zarah 26b, Tosafoth. The Christian birth rate must be diminished materially. Zohar 2, 64b. Take the life of the Gentile, the Christian, and kill them, and you will please God the same as one who offers incense to him. Sefer or Israel 117b. Jews are innocent of murder if intent was to kill a Christian. Makkah 7b. The disciples of Christ are tried in court and executed. Sanhedrin 43a. There are many other such teachings in the Talmud and other Jewish writings which regard the goy or non-Jew, the Christian, as a mere animal. To kill Christians, especially the best of them, has long been an occupation of the Jews. This same indictment was leveled by Jesus Christ against the predecessors of the Jews, the heretical Judahites and Pharisees. Christ said of them, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him." John 8, verse 44. "Wherefore you be witnesses unto yourself, that you are the children of them which killed the prophets, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar." Matthew 23, verses 31 through 35. Who killed Abel? Cain did, and though he was an Adamite, his descendants are not. Who killed Zacharias? The inhabitants of Jerusalem did, 2 Chronicles 24, verses 20 through 21, and they also killed the prophets, Matthew 23, verse 37. They were carried into Babylon and were brought back to be condemned and rejected by Christ. Their fate was sealed so that "your house is left to you desolate," verse 38, and were destined to intermix with non-Adamic people. The loss of Adamic heritage was their punishment for murder. The Jews today, through miscegenation, possess the blood of many of these cursed and rejected seed lines of the Adamic race. This is why there is no difference between the Pharisees, who were adamant followers of the tradition of the elders, which became the Babylonian Talmud, and the Jews of today. Footnote: the apogee of Pharisaism is the Talmud of Babylonia. Pharisaism became Talmudism. Talmudism became medieval rabbinism. And medieval rabbinism became modern rabbinism. But throughout these changes of name, the spirit of the ancient Pharisee survives unaltered. Louis Finkelstein, The Pharisees, 2nd edition, Volume 1, The Jewish Publication Society, 1940, pages Roman numeral 20 through 21. Edom's motive to kill Israel. Just as with any villain or murderer in a play or story, there is a motive or reason why Esau Edom has been trying to kill Jacob Israel all these years. When we look at the scenes and events in the script, we will find some underlying motives why the Edomite Jews want to kill and destroy the Christian Israel people. Point: since Esau had lost both his birthright and blessings to Jacob, which gave Jacob dominion and prosperity in the world, Esau has had a perpetual desire to take revenge against Jacob. Esau wants the dominion and the blessings back, and his envy and anger for Jacob possessing them in his stead had motivated Esau to destroy Jacob. Now, Edom must destroy and kill Israel, for it is the only way to get revenge for Esau. Point: Jacob Israel's birthright and blessings include a status of dominion in the earth, with God as their head. This dominion conflicts with the Edomite Jews' plan of one world dominion. If Esau cannot have dominion according to God's plan, he will have to have it according to his plan. The two dominions cannot coexist. If all Israelites can be killed, then God's plan for Israel to have dominion in the earth under him cannot be fulfilled. Point: If Esau could have killed Jacob as he originally planned, Genesis 27, verse 41, then as the only surviving heir, Esau would have regained the birthright. Similarly, if Esau would have died when he still had the birthright would have fallen unto Jacob as the next oldest or only surviving son of Isaac. Because of this law of inheritance, the Edomites in the world today believe that if they can kill off every Israelite, they can regain their birthright and its blessings as the only surviving heir. Point. The Edomites, who are composed of Esau mixed with Canaanite people, also contain a significant intermixture of the Judahites from Judea and the Babylonian captivity. There are also Israelites who married into the Edomites. These offspring from the Adamic race had a right to the birthright, but now, as mongrels, can never again claim that heritage, and thus lament over their hopeless fate. These descendants are now a part of Edom, and out of anguish and envy they desire to kill their pure-blooded brethren. Esau Edom may have other motives to kill off God's people Israel, but none are truly well-founded on the law. Jacob lawfully possessed the birthright, and Edom, as a mongrel, can no longer possess it. As with most motives for killing, the motives of Esau for killing Jacob are based on passion and revenge, not on any lawful right to action. There thus is a plan or conspiracy to kill all of the white Christian peoples from the planet. Esau's motives for killing Jacob are all part of a plot in God's script. This is why we often see aggressive and harmful actions being staged against the white race, the possessors of the birthright. It now becomes clear that the birthright plays a central role in understanding many of the conflicts, wars, adversities, and problems in the world. When Esau heard that Isaac had given Jacob the blessings of the birthright, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, Genesis 27, verse 34. This is exactly what the Jews do when they hear someone say they are not Israel, which means they do not have the birthright. They cry out bitterly against them with wails of anti-Semitism. Meanwhile, these Edomites seek ways to kill the real heir to the birthright. Many throughout history have recognized this peculiar characteristic of the Jews to destroy Christians, but could never supply an adequate explanation as to why. Without understanding who the characters on stage are and how they relate to the birthright, the play being acted out in the earth becomes quite confusing to most observers. Edom's treachery against Israel. Edom's desire for revenge against Jacob was revealed by Edom's desire to see Jerusalem destroyed when Israel possessed it, as revealed by the writer of Psalms. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. Psalm 137, verse 7. The word raise means to tear down completely, level to the ground, demolish. When Jacob Israel was at its zenith in terms of national status and prosperity, Esau Edom desired to see its capital city destroyed. This philosophy was revealed in the Jew Adam Weishaupt, whose basic Illuminati creed was, destroy civilization. Whatever is wrong. This concept paved the way for Illuminati Jews to organize the bloody and destructive French Revolution. In the Bible, the Edomites, who were fewer in number than Israel, had not the ability or might to take out their revenge against Israel and Judah until they were weakened by a civil war between them, 734 BC. Judah had suffered the loss of 120,000 men in one day, 2 Chronicles 28, verse 6. Another 200,000 of Judah's inhabitants were taken captive by Israel, along with much of its goods as a spoil, 28, verse 8. The Edomites took advantage of Judah's weakened condition, and in their vengeance, had come and attacked Judah and carried away captives, 2 Chronicles 28, verse 17. Thus, when Judah was torn by the ravages of civil war, it was Edom who had rushed in and ransacked the land and took the inhabitants into captivity. The ways and characteristics of the actor Esau Edom do not change, and thus this treachery against God's people can and did reoccur again in another act and another scene of the script. The scene was America. The time was the 1860s. The act was the American Civil War. Here was a war not only planned and instigated by Jews, such as the Rothschilds, but both sides were financed by Jewish banks. When the southern states lay devastated in the aftermath of the war, the Jewish Marxist plan of Reconstruction was established to further destroy the white rule and culture. The South was put under military government, and whites were deprived of their rights, their constitutions, and their property. Entire plantations were destroyed, burned, and pillaged to deny the white Southerners their inheritance. Jewish carpetbaggers from the North, such as the Lehmans, the seven liberal-minded Seligman brothers, the Baruchs, and other special emissaries of the Rothschilds, came to seize from the widows and orphans of the Confederate dead their last savings, their last possessions, and their lands and homes. Another episode of Edom's treachery and revenge occurred when Judah was undergoing its final siege from Babylon. After the enemy armies had captured Jerusalem in 586 BC, Edom had treacherously participated in its destruction. Rather than render aid when the enemy was upon God's people, Edom, out of revenge, invaded Jerusalem and took part in the plunder of the stricken city. This violence of Edom upon Judah was condemned by God. For thy, Esau's, violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou was one of them. But you should not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. You should not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, you should not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither should you have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither should thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. Obadiah 1, verses 10 through 14. The Edomites took advantage of Judah's captivity so as to wreak their vengeance and hatred upon God's people. The prophet Ezekiel also condemns Edom's treachery against the house of Judah by taking vengeance and has greatly offended and revenged himself upon them. Ezekiel 25, verse 12. And again in Ezekiel chapters 35 and 36, Edom is denounced for its actions in helping Israel's enemies in the final overthrow of Jerusalem, where Edom had shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity. Ezekiel 35, verse 5. Edom acted with great vengeance in their treacherous plan to invade Israel's land, to burn and pillage it, and to destroy and kill the remnant of God's people that were left in Jerusalem. The cruelties of Edom are denounced by Isaiah, Isaiah 34, verses 5 through 8, and Joel 3, verses 19 through 20. Edom's nature was not to change in its desire to take advantage of all opportunities for the destruction of the white Christian peoples, their culture, and civilization. Why? Because of Esau's animosity, jealousy, and hatred of Jacob for possessing the birthright he once had. This mode of treachery of Edom again surfaced during World War II. When Germany had been defeated at the end of the war, and the Allied forces had suppressed its military and rendered it defenseless, it was the Edomite Jews of the Red Soviet Union that had poured into the nation to rape, plunder, destroy, and kill Germans. As with Judah, the Edomite Jews shed the blood of Germans by force of the sword in the time of their calamity. This act was typical Edomite-style revenge upon God's people, Germany. Esau Edom cowardly attacks and plunders Jacob Israel only when they are in a weakened and helpless state. In February 1945, when the war was practically over, the city of Dresden was repeatedly bombed and destroyed to satisfy the hate and revenge of the Jews. Dresden was the culture center of Germany, and not a military or industrial target. Over 250,000 men, women, and children were slaughtered by orders of Jew-controlled Churchill, England, and Roosevelt, America. The persecution and destruction of white Christian people by Jews is not a recent thing, but reaches far back into history. Writing in the April 1921 issue of the Hebrew Christian Alliance Quarterly, the Reverend M. Malbert stated, "I am going to show that real religious persecution is uniquely Jewish. In the time of Justinian, in the 6th century, the Jews massacred Christians in Caesarea and destroyed their churches. When Stephanus, the governor, attempted to defend the Christians, the Jews fell on him and slew him. In 608, the Jews of Antioch fell upon their Christian neighbors and killed them with fire and sword. About 614, the Persians advanced upon Palestine and the Jews, after joining their standard, massacred the Christians and destroyed their churches. 90,000 Christians perished in Jerusalem alone." Footnote: as quoted in The International Jew, Volume 4, 1922, pages 171 and 173. End footnote. Perhaps the greatest act of revenge, treachery, and hatred perpetrated by the Jews was their destruction and takeover of the white-ruled and Christian nation of Russia. Here we have a premeditated and cold-blooded plan to destroy the white government and people of this nation. Russia, as a nation, had been populated and ruled by the white Russians since about 900 AD. These hardy settlers, being of Germanic and Scandinavian descent, set about to establish a dynasty rich in art and culture. An economic climate developed in which Russia prospered and became the breadbasket of Europe. With the Red Bolshevik Revolution, the Jewish revolutionaries had destroyed this stable civilization in a few days. The Jews were free to release their ingrained hatred through mass murders of helpless white Russian victims. Christians were dragged from their homes, tortured, and killed. Some were chained to the floor and hot lead poured into their mouths. Many were tied to horses and dragged through the streets of the city. Pregnant Christian women were chained to trees and their babies cut out of their bodies. Russia became like a slaughterhouse, with corpses lying everywhere. The bloody massacres continued on and off through the decades of the Red Rule of the Soviet Union. The Russian author, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, relates that some 66 million real Russians have been murdered since the Bolshevik Revolution at the hands of the Yiddish revolutionaries. Before the revolution, Russia was about 75% white. Today, the bulk of the population is Asiatic. The Jews took another opportunity to massacre helpless Christians during the Spanish Civil War in the 1930s. The Jew Rosenberg, Moses Israelson, headed murder teams called the World Revolutionary Movement Purification Squads. Their purification consisted mainly of massacres of priests, nuns, choir boys, women, and children. Madrid officials estimated that 1/10 of the population of Spain was murdered by the communist Jews by 1939. In the fall of 1939, the communist Jews had plotted the mass murder of Poland's leading class. The communist Jews had dossiers of all who might lead the Polish people to resist and who had been exposing the Jewish communist threat. During the first days of the war, 15,000 Polish officers and intellectual leaders, who were the flower of their nation, were captured and taken to Jewish-operated communist camps. In the spring of 1940, the Polish prisoners were brought to Katyn Forest. With their hands tied behind them, the victims were forced to kneel and then shot in the back of the head and buried in mass graves. Stalin knew full well that even his bloodthirsty Mongolian troops did not have the stomach for such slaughter, so he handpicked Jews to do the actual killing. He knew the Jews would not only do it, but enjoyed every minute of it. Thus, the problem of the Polish patriots was solved. A similar pattern was followed in Hungary, Latvia, and Czechoslovakia. The events surrounding World War II had registered the largest toll of deaths of white Christian people by the acts and plans of the Edomite Jews. All governments involved in that war were under the financial control of certain Jews and their agents. 150 million victims were added to their list of revenge. The Jews especially delighted in the deaths of millions of Christian refugees after the war, since the manner of their death fulfilled the most cherished doctrine of the Jewish hatred of all Christians, that non-Jews, being considered as non-humans or cattle according to the Jewish term goyim, are not to be buried. This is a violation of Jewish law, which prohibits animals from being buried. These millions of Christian refugees lay where they fell during these terrible Red Communist expulsions and never received a Christian burial. One act which has clearly revealed the treachery of the Jews was their unprovoked sneak attack on the American ship USS Liberty on June 8, 1967. The Jews viciously bombed, napalmed, machine-gunned, and torpedoed the ship, killing 34 and wounding 171. This was an act of hate. It is sometimes difficult for the Edomites to contain their hatred for the cursed goyim, so they will take out their hatred at any opportunity. In their desire for revenge against Jacob's descendants, the Edomite Jews have adopted the motto, "Never forgive, never forget." This hateful slogan has clearly been directed at the white race. Abortion and ritual murder. We need to mention some other acts of revenge that have been perpetrated by Jews to bring about the revengeful death and destruction of the white Christian people. One such act is the practice of abortion, which conforms quite well with the Jewish ritual of child sacrifice to idols, such as Molech. The Talmud recognizes such an atrocity as normal. "Giving one's seed to Molech is not idolatry," Sanhedrin 64a. Molech was a god of the Canaanites and Babylonians, and Babylon is the bedrock of the Jewish Talmud and Jewish traditions. This deity was the center of child sacrifice. The Talmud teaches that the extermination of Christians is a necessary sacrifice, Zohar 2:43a. It is not surprising to find that the majority of abortion clinics are run by Jews or have Jewish doctors in them. Nor is it surprising that Jews are the promoters of abortions, as a majority of Jews favor the right of women to have abortions. Worldwide, it is estimated that over 35 million white children have been sacrificed by the Jewish instituted and promoted plan of abortion. The Jews have long been pressuring legislatures and courts to legalize abortion. In America, this was achieved by judicial usurpation over the rights of the states when the Jew Justice Blackmun, speaking for the U.S. Supreme Court in 1973, claimed to make abortions legal. Footnote. This was in the case of Roe v. Wade, 410 U.S. 113. This case was not based on American law, but rather the 14th Amendment. American law prohibits such acts, as the dissenting opinion shows. At least 36 different states or territories had passed laws limiting abortion prior to the 14th Amendment in 1868. End footnote. The opinion of Blackmun was based in part on the medical ethics and standards of another Jew, Dr. Edelstein. Abortion has become an overt means of child sacrifice, which Jews have instituted under their de facto law. A more covert means of child sacrifice has been by their infamous ritual murders, of which Jews have been accused through the ages. In this practice, the blood of the sacrificed Gentile child is mixed with flour to make the unleavened bread eaten at Passover. Footnote: The Illustrated Atlas of Jewish Civilization, edited by Martin Gilbert, Macmillan Publishing Company, 1990, page 125. For a history and expose on this subject, see Jewish Ritual Murder by Arnold S. Leese, 1938. During the Middle Ages, Jews were found guilty of ritual murder of Christians in England at Norwich in 1146 and at Lincoln in 1225, in France at Blois in 1171, and in northern Italy at Trent in 1475. The Jewish Encyclopedia lists 121 ritual murder cases from 1146 to 1900, which were tried in courts. Many of the listings show convictions and the mode in which guilty Jews were executed. Footnote: The Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 3, 1903, pages 266 through 267. End footnote. From 1900 to the 1930s, there have been about another 20 cases of ritual murder by Jews. Even to this day, there are reports of ritual murder of children by certain extremist Hasidic Orthodox Jewish sects. Footnote: The Pharisees were originally identical with the Hasidim or Hasidic sect of Judaism. The Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 9, 1905, page 661. End footnote. Because this has not been a practice of Jewry as a whole, but of certain elite or secret sects of them, the practice has been shielded from public knowledge. Nearly all victims were eventually canonized. Interracial marriage. Another mode used to destroy the white race has been through interracial marriages. God prohibited the Israel people from intermarrying with other races. Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 3. The subversive Jewish goal and strategy to destroy the white race by interracial marriage was revealed in a speech by Rabbi Emanuel Rabinovich, which was delivered before the Emergency Council of European Rabbis in Budapest, Hungary, January 12, 1952. Greetings, my children. You have been called here to recapitulate the principal steps of our new program. The goal for which we have striven so concernedly for 3,000 years is at last within our reach, and because its fulfillment is so apparent, it behooves us to increase our efforts and our caution tenfold. Within 5 years, this program will achieve its objective, the Third World War, which will surpass in destruction all previous contests. This war will end for all time our struggle against the white race. We will openly reveal our identity with the races of Asia and Africa. We can state with assurance that the last generation of white children is now being born. Our control commissions will, in the interests of peace and wiping out interracial tensions, forbid the whites to mate with whites. The white women must cohabit with members of the dark races, and the white men with black women. Thus, the white race will disappear, for mixing the dark with the white will be the end of the white man, and our most dangerous enemy will become only a memory. We, Jews, will embark upon an era of 10,000 years of peace and plenty, a Pax Judaica, and our race will rule undisputed over the earth. Our superior intelligence will easily enable us to retain mastery over a world of dark peoples. Footnote: From Mullen's New History of the Jews, by Eustace Mullins, the International Institute of Jewish Studies, 1968, pages 147 through 49. End footnote. The destruction of Jacob Israel, the white race, has been the goal of Esau Edom for the past 3,000 years, as indicated by Rabbi Rabinovich. Whether killed in war or lured into the snare of interracial marriage, the lifeblood of the white man comes to an end. Note that the end of the white man is necessary in order for the Jewish race to rule over the earth, or to gain complete dominion in it. The Jews also recognize the existence of a struggle with the white race, a struggle which goes back not only to the time of Christ, but also Genesis 25. If we look at the trend in movies and television, it is clear that interracial mixing and marriages are more and more being promoted. Jews have dominated the motion picture industry from its very inception. Movies and TV shows which show interracial marriages in a favorable light are either written, directed, or produced by Jews. It was Marxist Jews who were behind the anti-white civil rights movement in America to break down the natural barrier between the white and colored races. It was the Jew Joel Spengarn who had founded and headed the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People in 1909. After his death, his son Arthur headed the NAACP until 1965. The vice president was another Jew, Rabbi Solomon. In 1965, another Jew, Kivi Kaplan, took over the organization. Two long-standing Jewish lawyers for the NAACP were Andrew D. Weinberger and Jack Greenberg. Footnote. Weinberger and Greenberg had filed briefs of amici curiae in the U.S. Supreme Court on behalf of the NAACP to strike down a Virginia statute which prohibited interracial marriages in the case of Loving v. Virginia, 833 U.S. 1, 1967. Two Jewish lawyers, Bernard S. Cohen and Philip J. Hirschkopf, argued the case for the appellants, the interracial couple. The Virginia law was held to violate the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. The Jews won. End footnote. Working contrary to the biblical principle of segregation, the Jews are the ones promoting multiracial immigration and multiculturalism. God had established the white race, as he did with Adam, the first white man, to be separated from the other races and to have rule and authority in the earth. It has been the Jews' role as Esau Edom to destroy God's order of things by getting the white race to ignore the natural barriers of distinction between races. The Jew thus runs to the aid and support of the Negro and colored races to elevate them while lowering the status of the white man. With the legal, political, and social distinctions between races eradicated, whites can be more readily amalgamated into the colored races, as the Jew Israel Cohen once stated. We must realize that our party's most powerful weapon is racial tension. By propounding into the consciousness of the dark races that, for centuries, they have been oppressed by the whites, we can mold them to the program of the Communist Party. In America, we will aim for subtle victory. While inflaming the Negro minority against the whites, we will endeavor to instill in the whites a guilt complex for their exploitation of the Negroes. We will aid the Negroes to rise in prominence in every walk of life, in the professions, and in the world of sports and entertainment. With this prestige, the Negro will be able to intermarry with the whites and begin a process which will deliver America to our cause. Footnote. Israel Cohen, A Racial Program for the 20th Century, 1912. Also in the Congressional Record, Volume 103, page 8559, June 7, 1957. End footnote. It has been a tactic of the Jews to incite the colored races against whites. The Jews promote equality for blacks and other minorities, but deep down care nothing about their welfare. Their aim is the equalization of races so that the dominion and sovereignty of the white race will be destroyed. Further, miscegenation will eventually produce one mongrelized race, making the Jewish goal of a one-world order possible. As Rabbi Abraham L. Feinberg had stated, "If anything, the law should encourage, not forbid, the intermingling of bloods. But legislation cannot change the human heart. The only way we can accomplish that, the only way we can achieve a final solution to racial prejudice, is to create a mélange of races so universal that no one can preen himself on his racial purity or practice the barbarism to safeguard it. The deliberate encouragement of interracial marriages is the only way to hasten this process, and it may be that time is growing short. The dominance of our world has begun to shift like cargo in a listing vessel from the white races to the colored. The sooner we adjust to this fact, the better it will be for our children. For we might well acknowledge, even the most enlightened of us, that we will never completely eliminate racial prejudice until we eliminate separate races." Footnote. Maclean's Magazine, Canada, September 5th, 1967. End footnote. The Jews, who are mongrels, desire the entire world to become mongrelized, especially the white race. Through the practice of miscegenation, the Edomite Jews can both wreak their revenge upon Jacob Israel and attain their goal of domination, for such mongrelization is as effective as a bullet in the destruction of the white race. Conclusion and comment. We could also expound upon other acts and means of revenge Edom is waging against God's people, the white race. Much could be written of the Jewish control in the field of medicine and medical practices, which are used to weaken and kill our people. The Jewish influence in education has warped the thinking and retarded the capacity for higher thinking in young white people. The swarm of Jewish lawyers and Judaized lawyers have entangled the legal system with rules and laws that have forced people into bankruptcy and debt. In every field and walk of life, the Jew attacks and seeks to destroy those who obviously possess the birthright, the white race. All of this activity and control remains rather concealed from the people due to the Jewish control over the media. As the Jewish author Alfred Lilienthal had written, "The most effective component of Jewish connection is probably that of media control. It is well known that American public opinion molders have long been largely influenced by a handful of powerful newspapers, including the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, owned respectively by the Sulzbergers, Mayers, and the Pulitzers, all Jewish families." Footnote: Alfred Lilienthal, The Zionist Connection, 2, 1978, pages 218 through 19. End footnote. The media is now used to hide the birthright from its heirs. The Adamic birthright and the Abrahamic covenant were a blessing and a promise for the heirs of the Adamic race. They included a promise to be prosperous, rich in material wealth, to be a great nation, and that the heirs would have a right to dominion in the world. This blessing was bestowed upon Esau by birthright. But Esau sold that birthright to Jacob, and with it all its promises and blessings. It is thus out of jealousy and revenge that Esau desires to see the destruction of Jacob's blessings, his culture, civilization, government, industry, and relationship with God. Esau gave up title to the Adamic birthright and is now trying to reclaim it by deceiving the whole world into believing that he is the chosen of God. Esau gave up title to the Adamic birthright and is now trying to reclaim it by deceiving the whole world into believing he is the chosen of God. It is a genetic function of the Jews' existence to do the works of their ancestor Esau by destroying the white Adamic race. Over 400 million white people have been wiped off the face of the earth in the last 300 years by Jews. They are used by God to perform in that manner, whether they like it or not, and whether they know it or not. They cannot change who and what they are while on stage, any more than a leopard can change its spots. Jeremiah 13, verse 23.